Yes. Welcome to Hip Hop Save My Life. This is me, Ramesh, introducing this very special episode of Hip Hop Save My Life with the one and only Murs. Now, if you know your underground hip hop, you'll know that Murs has been an independent legend for years, and we couldn't believe that we got him onto the podcast. But he was doing a European tour, and the stars aligned, and we got him on. And he's a properly funny, chilled out guy, and we had a lot of fun recording with him. So yeah, I think you'll enjoy it. Also, this week's very special because it is a double ep single day release, and what that means is that I should have thought of what we were going to call this before I started speaking. But the long and the short of it is we're releasing two eps at the same time. You want to find out about the other one, listen to the other one. But for now, Murs, Hip Hop Saved My Life, dear God. Enjoy.
This is the Hip Hop Saved My Life podcast. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Now sit back, because it's time for the podcast.
Welcome to Hip Hop Saved My Life. I'm with Roomaj.
Hey, man.
How are you?
Good. We've stopped saying what episode number is, haven't we?
Because I've got no clue, mate.
Yeah, yeah, so
and also, do you know the last episode?
Said 29.
Yeah.
The Clara one.
Yeah.
So but it wasn't? It went from 27 to 29?
It went from 58, mate, to 29.
Oh,
I don't
man.
Know. Yeah.
This is DeLorean shit.
I know.
Fucking Doc Brown.
But we are honoured to be joined by, he won't like us saying this, but a hip-hop legend.
Oh, thank you.
In Murs. Hello. Is it Murs or Murs? You say Murs.
I say Murs, but I don't.
Murs.
Snoop Dogg says Murs.
Yeah.
So, you know. I got a thing for you, baby girl, but I don't seem to fit up in your crazy world. I'm that square peg in the round hole. I know what your family's saying on the down low. And all your homegirls high key hate me though. They still use my login for the HBO, Amazon, Netflix, and some more shit. Don't even know why you listen to them broke chicks. And get your sister cause she's sliding in my DMs, saying we should meet up at the gym and we should be friends. Your mama smiling at me, but that don't mean nothing, cause she still invites your ex to every family function. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast, man. I'm going to get laid now.
This is good, man. Is it on this?
Yeah.
Well, nothing to do with us, though.
Yeah, no. Well, to do with him. I haven't met you, but then but listening to the podcast, and then I found out you weren't Indian from your name.
Yeah.
What the fuck's up with that?
So, basically, when we first started doing the podcast, we wanted to come up with a this is so embarrassing. We wanted to come up with a hip-hop name, right, for him. Because his name's Rupert. So he's white and he's called Rupert. So there's a lot of issues there, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So we thought, what are we going to do? So his surname is Majendie.
Which is French,
right?
Better than.
Yeah, we could have just gone with Majendie. Anyway, the point is we put them together and come up with Roomaj. And then everybody assumed that he's brown because of that. And then we did a live hip-hop show. How long ago? A few months ago. And I don't want to say they were disappointed that you're white.
Yeah.
Surprised. They were surprised.
Yeah, that's a nice way to say disappointed.
They laughed. Introduced me on stage and they laughed for about 5 minutes.
That's a huge punchline.
To be at that level of comedy where your very appearance
without saying
is a punchline. Yeah. Is like,
how did that feel after promoting comedy shows to get like a good laugh?
It felt good.
Yeah. So
I wish I would have been there.
Yeah. I mean, you would have loved it.
I would have been
disappointed.
Yeah.
But you would have loved
surprised.
It. Surprised. Yeah.
I would have disappointed.
Yeah, you would have been surprised. Yeah. So we've had a bit of a fucked up start to this, because first of all, I saw you outside. You're on crutches.
Yeah, man.
What happened?
First day of tour in Amsterdam, I was touring with an artist by the name of D1, and he's a kind of a pretty boy. A lot of rappers are not artists, most of them are, but they're jocks turned. Hey, I didn't make college, how can I still get girls to pay attention to me? I know, I'll do this rap thing. Girls like that, Cameron, Maze, 2 Chainz.
Really? That's the origin for those guys?
Yeah, D1, Mason Betha, all of them.
Yeah, you get those in comedy as well.
Yes, really?
100%. Well, yeah, because, and like, I don't want to sound like a grumpy bastard about this, but I feel like there are some comedians who are like, and I don't know if you feel the same way about rappers, but like, there are some comedians who are just wired, well, there's some comedians who are just wired slightly incorrectly, and that has made them go into comedy, right? Because there's something fucked up, something happened to them or whatever, and so there's something wrong with people that work, certain people that work in comedy. There are other people that I would argue are too functional as human beings.
Too good looking.
They're too good looking, they're too fucking alpha, they're too, they got shit together too well to be comedians. I just think there has to be, we're supposed to be outsiders, comedians, you know what I mean? And then you've got people that like, you know, this, without naming names, but there are comedians that are like super good looking and like ripped, and then they talk about how they're awkward with girls, and I think, come on, mate, there's absolutely no fucking way you've ever had any problems getting girls in your fucking life. I don't believe you. And whenever I see a comedian, because there are, look, there are comedians who are good looking who are good, but whenever, as an audience member, I see a good-looking comedian step up, I think, you've got a tough job ahead of you, man.
Yeah, you get hard. Yeah. I guess that's where black being a black American comes in.
Right, yeah.
Because you still have a struggle, regardless if you're the, you know, Eddie Murphy's not a bad-looking guy. Chris Tucker's not a bad-looking
guy. That's true, yeah, yeah.
Chris Rock, that's why white people think he's really funny, because he's also, he's an unattractive black man. But I'm just one, you know, we have huge gums. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not, you know, I'm in his boat with him. But yeah.
So you anyway. So I'm with this
ex jock, ex math teacher turned rapper turned Christian rapper.
Yeah.
Walking through the park, you know, after our show in Amsterdam, I'm such a real rapper that the morning next morning we wake up early so that we can go to the museum to see the Banksy exhibit at the MoCA.
Nice. How was it?
It was amazing.
Yeah.
Then we're leaving. There's a half pipe. I've only had to cancel one tour in my life, and that's because I'm a skater, and I was skating a curb, and I rolled my ankle and had to cancel a whole Japanese tour. Lots of Japanese people lost money. I felt like a dick, so I stopped skating.
Yeah.
So I see this half pipe, and I was like, this is what I want to do.
Was there any part of you that thought, oh, fuck it, it's Japan. Like, I'm so far away from there. Because if you owed somebody in LA money...
Yeah, they come get me.
Yeah. But in Japan, you think, what are they really going to do?
Exactly. That's how I felt. So after that, I'm like, okay, I'm a legit... This is my business now.
Yeah, I can't
do things that are going to prevent me from earning money. So I looked at the half pipe in Amsterdam and said no, and I look over and D1 is over there on the courts with the guys, and I'm not going to try my New Orleans accents, but he sounds like Lil Wayne, you know.
Yeah
Wody, we're going to basketball. I said no. That's it. Alright, man, well, shit, you know, this is a team building exercise. My DJ, me, you, 3-on-3. He goes into this whole Team USA thing, and these Dutch guys are challenging us. We have to defend our country. I'm like, okay. I haven't played basketball in 10 years.
Okay. So there's a lot going against this decision today.
Yeah, I shouldn't. Last time I played tag, I got hit in the nose, and I hit someone else. I punched the guy back. I'm not into sports ball anymore. I decided to smoke weed and skateboard and read comic books and rap. Got on the court, first play of the game, D1 passes it to me under the basket, I jump over the guy, I score, I come down, I don't know if I landed on the guy or landed wrong, and I was the only one wearing LeBron James tennis shoes.
Oh shit.
Everyone else had on their hip hop shoes. I had on basketball tennis shoes or sneakers, and whoosh, my whole ankle just went sideways.
Scored though.
I scored.
What's the diagnosis then? You broken?
Torn tendons. So I have to go to physical therapy when I get back. I'm at the age where it's just not going to bounce back.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're our age, right? You're 40.
Yeah, I'm 40.
Right? Yeah, so I'm 40. How old are you?
44.
You're 44?
Yeah.
You look good for it, man.
Thanks, mate.
Yeah, you really do.
Sometimes certain types of white don't crack.
Yeah.
So did you have to go to hospital in Amsterdam?
We had a show that night, so I had to...
Self-medicate.
No, I don't smoke. I wish. We had to take a car... because I couldn't go on the train. I just said, let's just get to Rotterdam and I'll deal with it. So it was €150 for the car ride to Rotterdam. The guy dumped us off, and luckily our hotel was across the street from the venue and about 2 minutes from the hospital. We went to the hospital, $400, fucking no NHS there, but $400, 4 hours later, they x-rayed it. I took off my sock. It's on Instagram, like my fucking... She was huge. I couldn't set it down. I couldn't even look at it without hurting. It was hurting all the way up to my knee. And she was just like, yeah, you tore a lot of tendons. It's not broken, thank God. But when you get home, you gotta do this. And then she gave me paracetamol.
Yeah.
And I thought this was some good shit. That shit didn't do shit. I couldn't even sleep.
Yeah.
I was in so much pain. Like, I never thought about when you put the covers or the comforter over your foot.
Yeah.
It's just a thing you take for granted. but it was freezing in the hotel room. But I didn't want my foot out. But I could not, nothing, a sheet, I couldn't put tissue. If really? I took a shit and tissue fell on my ankle, I would tears.
Wow.
And then they just like kind of dumped my bags in my room because they're men. Like they have no bedside manner.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
So I'm like hop into the bathroom. I have to piss in the middle of the night. I have to hop. I bang my, oh, it was ridiculous. But luckily I got the bottom room floor. It was handicapped accessible. And then from there it was like,
did you have one of those handicap shower rooms? You know the bathrooms?
Yes.
Where the whole thing is like a
floor.
Yeah.
And then had a little chair. Yeah, I always hated it. Now I had
appreciation. Just when you're sitting on the little chair.
Yeah, because every other hotel for the past week I've been sitting on the toilet.
When have you sat on a little chair?
I tried it out. I got
just for fun.
Yeah, I didn't need to, but I was like, I was in one of those hotel rooms and I thought, it's here. It's possible that this is an amazing thing. And I don't want to like, it might be that that's my thing.
YOLO.
And then, do you know, yeah, exactly. And then who knows? I might want to buy a little chair for home. Do you know what I mean? Like you don't know.
Sitting baths.
Exactly. Yeah. So I just thought, let me just fucking try it. Do you know what I mean?
Oh my God.
the thing that freaks me about that story is, I don't like the idea of needing medical treatment abroad, right? Like that sort of freaks me out slightly. And I don't know. I was in Sri Lanka when I was a kid, and it was my grandma's funeral. I'm originally Sri Lanka, so like, when I was a kid, I stepped on like a candle, like this one of these little tea light things, and burnt my foot. And then they took me to a Sri Lankan hospital, for some reason, it felt like the most terrifying thing ever. I don't know why. It's like I was less trusting of brown faces. I just thought,
yeah, I feel like that. I instantly think Mexican prison. When you say Sri Lankan hospital, that instantly. I'm like, yo.
Yeah, man. That was.
Was it like a Mexican? Did you shank anyone?
No, I didn't shank anyone, but it was. I found it, I don't know, it added another element of terror to the whole thing, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's first world problem.
Yeah, definitely.
But I mean, yeah, it would be probably shitty in America for you.
Yes, yeah.
It was bad in Amsterdam, but it wasn't that bad. They were slow.
Right.
But America, they're slow, they're rude.
Are they really? Yeah.
Yeah, Canada, I've gotten hurt twice in Canada. They took care of me.
Canada, I can imagine you turn up and there's a fucking gift basket when you arrive at the
hospital. Yeah, they were so nice. Australia, they were really nice. Australia, they gave me a CAT scan and MRI. I jumped off the stage and tried to jump over on someone, kick someone in the head and landed on the bar, hit my head. It's inside the album of my cover album, Murray's Revenge. Like him, like the cartoons where the bump goes up.
Yeah, yeah.
I was trying to hold it down and it literally pushed my hand up. And I was like, holy shit. And we walked to the ER. In 30 minutes, I had a CAT scan. They're like, you okay? And then in Australia, like, they don't take offense. So I was like, well, can I go back to drinking tonight?
Yeah.
And they're like, sure, because like, they're Australian. No judgment.
Yeah, there's never a time when you can't drink.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
But they were quick, man. I can't get an MRI in the States. I pay $875 a month for my family's health care.
Hold on a second. Is that how much?
Yeah, that's for my wife, my child, and myself.
A month?
A month.
Fucking hell, man. That's mad, isn't it? We take the old NHS for granted,
yeah,
don't we?
Do.
Just rock up for anything. So how did you get on with doing the rest of the shows?
On one leg, I've never... Like, I do all kind of kicks and, like, jumps and punk shit, and there's no punk rock anymore. My punk rock was dead.
And did you find it more... Gone.
Are you sat down doing it? Or?
I try. I can't. I couldn't sit down. So now, like, this leg is hurting. And
because you compensate.
Yes, I'm literally jumping around on one leg and...
And what did you think of the crowds, European crowds?
They're good, man. I mean, but I'm partial to British or the UK anyway.
Oh, yeah.
For years, I did Jazz Cafe in 2010.
Yeah.
Sold it out. And then I hadn't been able to get booked in England since. And I'm like, what the fuck, man? And I'm super, like, not super Britophile, but for American, like...
Yeah.
Like... I love Guy Ritchie as much as Quentin Tarantino.
Really, yeah.
I was in the grime in like 03, like...
Oh, really, yeah.
Yeah, I was so into grime that me and my group that I started in high school, I reunited with them, I had a little money. I was like, I'm going to rent us a flat in London for some what I thought was London. Turned out to be Billericay. I don't know if you're familiar with Billericay.
The capital of grime.
And I was like,
oh, mate, no, but the thing that people don't know about Billericay is in 03, the grime scene in Billericay was fucking, oh my God.
Let me tell you, I got off the fucking train and was like, everyone. You know, it's like
everyone's looking at you.
Fam, what the fuck? Is that your girl? What the fuck? Sorry, that's my.
That's good, man. It's good. So, how long were you in Billericay for?
A month.
And what did you do? Just spend the month realizing you fucked up?
Going back and forth on the expensive ass train in London. It's a wild round trip. I'm glad you're getting your fucking laugh. They sold us on this place, man. They had a fucking pool. I was pool, July. Right.
Yeah,
pool.
Of course. But you're in Billericay, right?
Bro, I just had to start swimming in the rain. I said, fuck it. I was like, if I get electrocuted, it'll be worth for this fucking, I think it's been $3,000 or something.
Oh, mate.
Do you make loads of tunes?
Yeah, we made a whole album. But the guys I was with, they're my brothers. I love them, but they didn't want to go anywhere. So I was friends with Danger Mouse at the time. This is right when he started the Gorillaz, and no one knew what Gorillaz was.
Yeah.
And right after the Grey album, and he's like, I'm meeting Iggy Pop. Now, I knew him right before he did the Grey album. So he's like, I'm in London, come hang out with me. And I'm like, yo, let's go hang out with Danger Mouse. And my friends are like, no, we're just going to stay in Billericay.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I was like, are you fucking out of your mind? So I was like, fuck it, man. So I went into town a couple times with him, and you know, he just came into a lot of money. So we're popping bottles and random. And I'm like, I want to go to Fabric. Like,
what?
I got to find Dirty Goods. I got to find Wiley. I got to find SQB. Like, what the fuck? I got to go to the States. I got to like. And he's like, no, I got to go fucking hang with Damian Albarn or whatever fuck. So he's on the high level shit. My friends are in Billericay, and I'm trying to find this grime scene. And I was also friends with Ty.
Oh, yeah.
But Ty was definitely not into grime.
Right.
So it's like, you know, all my hip hop friends that I made over the years were like, that's not hip hop.
Yeah.
And so I just ended up like buying DVDs and mixtapes wherever I could.
So how did you even like discover it? Like, how did.
All my former DJ was really in the jungle and drum and bass. And so then he started playing people rapping over it, which was like, because Americans that tried to rap over it just didn't work.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't like the raga bullshit. I didn't like that shit either.
Yeah.
And this dude was actually like, I forgot what the first grime song I heard. I was like, and he's like, oh, it's called grime. And like this dial up internet kind of, we're still like,
yeah.
I felt like probably how you guys felt searching hip hop back
course,
in the day.
Yeah.
I felt like, I was like, I'm just going to fuck it. I have money. I'm just going to live here for a month and I'll find someone. And I still didn't find shit. I ended up taking like to real seedy parts of town, somewhere south of Billericay by the water or somewhere. And it was like someone gave me a flyer and I tried to find this place and I got stranded and a bunch of dudes in hoods came out.
Jesus Christ.
You never met any artists?
Never, not one. But I got to hang out with Danger Mouse a couple of times before he like got really blown up. And I went to Wimbledon and I got to, it was the year of the Euro Cup. And I didn't know that, especially in Billericay, there's 5 fucking channels.
Yeah.
I was like, what if this is un-American? But then I was like, this is not America. So we had to watch soccer. I hated soccer.
Right.
I learned to love soccer.
Has it stayed with you though?
Yeah, stayed with me. I learned to love soccer and tennis. And I got into Wimbledon. And then I saw how, like, learning the rules.
Yeah.
The old white guy that ran into us was teaching me the rules. And when people were cheering when Serena would have a fault, I was like, that's not polite.
Yeah.
Like, that's against the rules. So I was like, fuck it. I'm going to Wimbledon. And I'm going to scream at these white people. So I went from Billericay to Wimbledon to go to Serena's match. Missed it completely. Bought my tickets anyway. I'm in Wimbledon and I'm watching a doubles match at one of the televised matches. And I see this white lady with fucking... People are dressed really nice for this thing.
Yes, yeah.
And I'm
in
like a t-shirt and a sweatsuit or a
Did you get any... Did they... How was that? Because I've never been... Have you been to Wimbledon?
Once.
It's super like posh, right? So did anyone give any looks rocking up in your like casual gear? Were you right?
No, I don't. I think that was already black. Like I was just
right.
But they were polite enough not to stare.
Yeah.
And then I started staring at the lady because she had fried chicken, and I was like, "Yo, that looks so good right now." And I was like, "I'm not gonna be the only black guy at Wimbledon eating fried chicken."
Yeah.
I have them carrying the whole race with me right now. I can't. I said, fuck it, I'm getting fried chicken. I walk out to go get the fried chicken and the line is around the fucking corner. I was like, where are these white people waiting for fried chicken? Fuck it, I'll get Thai food. I got home and the white guy that rented us the house in Billericay, the older guy, I was like, yo, man. I was like, you guys like fried chicken too? He's like, mate, that's our shit. He's like, fish and chips?
Yeah.
We were frying shit before we got to America. This is our... You guys have pizza and we didn't get Pizza Hut till you guys. McDonald's, all the shitty shit, that's your shit. He's like, fish and chips, mate. What the fuck do you think? And I was like, white people have us believing that we invented fried chicken.
Yeah, but do you know what? The The thing I would say about the difference in, I mean, I'm obviously I'm vegan now. I haven't eaten fried chicken. I mean, you're vegan now, yeah. Right? So, but fish and chips, and I know this is sacrilegious, but fish and chips and fried chicken are two,
yeah.
I mean, fried chicken is like spicy and tasty, and it's got, fish and chips is shit.
Fish.
Yeah, it's
so but, maybe it's American fusion. Maybe you guys brought the fryer and we brought the spices.
I think so.
Yeah, there you go.
Think so, because have you eaten fish and chips?
I don't eat fish, yeah.
Right, but did you...
Yeah, it looks very like...
It's just crap. I mean, it's... Like, it's there must be...
Wait, are you going to get deported for saying that?
Possibly. Possibly. Yeah. I mean, that people do get upset, because I think I've said this before, but like, unless you go to a really good place, and I've heard that really good place is good, but most fish and chip shops... Oh, God, I'm going to get fucking
slaughtered. It's still sort of greasy fish.
Though. Yeah, it's just like... It's not... Fried, when you see fried chicken, because when I was in the States... All of the film crew, they were all ordering fried chicken, right? And you could smell that it's got flavour and spice and shit like that. British fish and chips ain't got that, man. Yeah, it's not got that.
Putting yourself out there now.
Yeah. Look, come at me. If anybody's listening to this,
next live hip hop saved my life. You gotta come up, throw fried fish on stage.
But there's some place where you can get vegan fish and chips, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah, what's your attitude towards the old vegan substitutes? Are you into that?
Yeah, well, my wife is like a former and I guess now still vegan chef.
Yeah.
So she's not too keen on it.
Right, just like the meat, the fake meat.
Yeah, but we have, I mean, she'll indulge sometimes. She thinks it's shit. I like some of it. But like we have a guy in LA called Compton Vegan.
Yeah.
Which when you come back to LA, he has an Instagram. You can order. He'll deliver to you.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah. And so he does like chicken wings, but you know, vegan seitan fried.
Because I went to in LA, I went to Doomies. Do you know Doomies?
Oh, yeah, Doomies. Well, that is hell food.
Yeah,
good God, great in a good way, but it's like,
do you know the thing that I found so weird about it? So it's like this, it's basically this. I think the guy that owns it is not vegan, right? But he was sick of like going with his vegan friends and having to have like salad and shit like that, right? So he wanted to have like, he wanted to provide a vegan meal that was like indulgent. So you go to this place, you can get like bacon double cheeseburger and all this shit, right? Fried chicken. The thing that fucking blew my mind, right? Because the food was nice. I said to the waitress, what do you recommend? She said, chicken wings. We've got hot wings. Like these hot wings are fucking amazing, right? So I was like, cool. So we ordered them and they come with a wooden peg driven into them for the bone.
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah. I cannot get my head... how is that okay? Like, do you know what I mean? You've given me like a substitute bone. I don't understand. Yeah,
this is why I don't eat meat.
Yeah. I moved away from this. And you're trying to make it to look as much like a body
as well.
Yeah,
vegan.
It's vegan for not vegans.
Yeah, that is true. Anyway, listen, we're going to get slaughtered if we don't talk to you about hip-hop, man.
We're
talking about fucking vegan food. I'm going to get absolutely kicked in the dick. but listen, it's so... We recommended your album on the podcast because we loved it, man. It's fucking great. I think it's the best thing you've ever done, your latest album.
Man, thank you.
It's so good.
I make art. Y'all niggas make hits. I make music from the heart, and what you make is shit. Softer than the couch, step up, get knocked out. Popping bottles in the club, I'm just chilling at the house. Playing war games with four dames in your name. Don't get high, stay fly, and I ignore lames. Tame as a terrier, but it gets scarier when you try to test the best in your area.
So yeah, I saw you tweet about it.
Yeah.
And then I looked you up, and I was like, who is this guy? What is this podcast? Like, oh, the podcast is dope. I'm gonna follow the podcast because I just started a podcast and I was like, I need to learn from other people. Doing
we're the wrong guys. We're not them. Yeah.
So I was like, okay. And then I was like, okay, who's this guy? And then I saw Just Another Immigrant.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And we're not gonna talk about hip hop, but fuck you guys. Sorry for a second. I had no idea. I got remarried. I'm on second marriage, and I married a Brazilian woman who immigrated to the United States at a young age.
Okay.
But she always tells me stories about how it's different for immigrants. And after our son died, we were like in a bad place. Like,
yeah.
Of course. And we're playing like, we'd go out of sight for Pokemon Go. That was it. Like, that was the silliest, most basic shit that brought us out of our hole. And then Netflix, and like being a rapper, and I have a child from my previous marriage that I adopted. Dad, like I had no time to watch the Netflix and chill this. So start searching everything.
Yeah.
Comedy, that's when we need to laugh. So Hasan Minhaj came up. And I was like, yo, let's watch this. Fuck it. Homecoming King.
Whatever. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my homegirl is a comedian. Marcella recommended it. And Marcella recommends it. She's funny as shit. And then I watched it, and it was all about his struggle as an immigrant.
Right.
And I was like, and I was laughing my ass off, but I couldn't relate.
Right, right, right.
And I was like, this is how white people feel when they listen to black comedians.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So sometimes I'm like, what the fuck are you guys laughing at? Like,
yeah,
you don't get this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I really felt like outside. Like, there's this whole world of immigrants. They go through this thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So then when I saw your thing, I was like, oh, my wife is going to love this show for yeah, sure. Yeah. And of course, we started watching it, and then she's like, this guy is just like you. Oh, he's such a fucking dick. And I was like, really? And then your mom comes on, stop being a dickhead. See? Yeah. And I'm like, yo.
I can't believe you've seen that show, man. That's amazing.
Oh, it's the greatest show. And I'm also in business with the guy who started Hip Hop DX is Indian.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
And so we've been talking a lot going, he's from Kerala. So I've been talking about going back to Kerala with him because apparently they grow everything there.
Yeah, yeah.
And my vegan wife is so excited to go.
And there's
Kerala.
Like now this hip hop scene over there now.
Really?
Right? Yeah, yeah, because that, you know, Bobby Friction is DJ on BBC Asia Network over here. And he sent me, because he knows obviously about I'm into hip hop. And he said to me, check this out. And it's so amazing to me, man. Like, they're these Indian guys who are just like, it's so weird. Because it must have been, I don't know what it's like as an American watching UK people do hip hop, right? But watching Indian guys who have all of the mannerisms and the dress sense and all of that stuff of a rapper, and then they've got, but you can't understand anything they're saying.
Are they rapping in Malayali or are they rapping in?
I think there was like Punjabi was like,
okay.
They were rapping in Punjabi, I think, a couple of them. And it's like, it's so amazing how far hip hop has got, like, every, like, there's a proper scene over there now, man.
That's crazy.
I know.
I can't wait to go now. I love foreign hip hop. It's I told the, like, when I got hurt and, like, you know, I didn't think about it, like, till a fan came up to me like, thank you for not canceling. I was like, that wasn't even an option to me. I was like, there were some guys in 1973 in a basement that threw this fucking party.
Yeah, yeah.
And now me, I get to go to fucking Wales. Like, you know, off of something some dude made up in a fucking project basement. Like, that's literally, it's not like 400 years ago, like less than 50 years ago.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that is never lost on me. If I ever, like, things get tough, like I'm sitting in an emergency room in Rotterdam, I'm like, fuck. But then I'm like, how did I get here? Oh, I started making these words rhyme. And then I started.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, like, and literally this, and now it's funny because Amsterdam's the first place I went to on tour in 1996. No record deal. We were sleeping on people's floors in the projects in Groningen. And I was selling cassette tapes on the street. So to be back in the Netherlands, and I'm like, I'm sitting here and I have no way, you know, they're telling me it's $400. I'm like, yeah, run it up, run my car. Like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I'm like, this is not a bad thing. So yeah, it trips me out how far hip hop has come. Like, just in my personal life, and of course there's Indian rappers and Punjabi dressing like, you know, in ripped skinny jeans or dyeing their hair like Lil Uzi. Who fucking knows, man?
You've been doing this for like, what, over 20 years now?
Yeah, right? 22 years.
And I think it's fair to say that, like, you've acquired legendary status for being, you know, independent rapper who's like constantly trying to push your artistry. And you've seen hip hop sort of change through the years and stuff like that. Do you feel like you've got what you, because I'm, you know, when we knew that we're going to get you on the podcast, I was like, it fucking blew my mind, man, because I think, I can't believe we're getting Merz on the podcast, like, this is mad, right? Because because you're at that level. Do you look at hip hop artists that aren't doing, because you talk about artistry in your, and you say, you know, most hip hoppers aren't artists, and, you know, I'm trying to be an artist or whatever,
right?
Do you begrudge where some of hip hop has gone, or do you just sort of see it, are you sort of like pretty zen about it and see it all as, it was the longest question I've ever asked.
Yeah, no, I feel I'm like super, I'm cool with, I hate to make it a racial thing, but it always like, as long as you're not out there really killing people, if this is what you have, you know, I look at it like it's, I won't say I'm sad for them, it's just like, if that's what you feel you have, it's crude to me.
Right.
You know, but I'm like, okay, well, at least you're getting out of the cave. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, white America has put us in a position that I'm not going to judge anyone that comes out of this cave. However you can get out of there, bro, get the fuck out.
Yeah, yeah.
But it sucks. I mean, and I think it's not, it's my problem, and I try not to, like I said, talk down on any black man doing what he's got to do, but the more we get into this era of this is black excellence, this is black, and it's not really, because it has nothing to do with being black. It's just acting white.
You're right.
Like Americans and I guess and Europeans have commercialized art.
Yeah.
Like Michelangelo wasn't painting like, oh shit, this shit's about to go platinum. Watch out. You know what I mean? Like yeah. You know, that's not what it's fucking about, yeah, man. Yeah. It's art. You're supposed to do it to express. Or for Africans, like it's a way to keep our culture and our stories. And then we weren't a written people.
Yeah.
We were a vocal people, and this is an oral tradition. So I was like, there's more to what's going on than what you're doing. But hey, man, if that pays your bills, that's great. If that keeps all those dudes behind you paid and you're taken care of, right, yeah, fine. But it's not art.
Yeah, yeah.
It's entertainment, but yeah, it's not art.
Well, it's difficult. It's that argument is an interesting one, because like you sort of see it as like not so much. I think it's less so now than it was, but back years ago, you know, the big record labels were the gatekeepers to everything, right? And so, you know, they were celebrating a certain type of hip hop, particularly after like NWA came out. You know, there was all that type of thing was what record labels were going for. And like you said, if I've got a choice between continuing to live in whatever destitute situation I'm in, all right,
yeah,
or I say make this type of record and suddenly I'm wealthy, then it's difficult to judge somebody for making those decisions.
Yeah, right? I do not. I guess I critique and personally, but I try not to judge.
Yeah,
you know, and then it creates your own set of problems, man. Like you want to be a tough guy. Like there's a lot that comes with being a gangster rapper. Like being, yeah, from those neighborhoods. Like I know how much these rappers have to pay. Certain rappers have to pay $100,000 just to land in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And be a Blood or be a Crip. Like that, it costs, it's expensive. And even the ones that are really Bloods and Crips, it's a constant political game. You have to talk to this guy from this gang and this guy and this gang and this guy from this gang who's not even a rapper, but you have to make sure his daughters get into the show or else you're gonna have problems when you go to Oklahoma. Or, you know, so if you want that burden, that's what you're into.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then there's the guys, like, I know I was listening to the podcast and I was like, oh, okay, this is where we're not the same. I was like,
right,
because fucking Revival was a great record to me. And Kamikaze is shit. I think Eminem's going
really?
Back. Yeah, I think.
Okay, go on.
The guy I do a podcast with, okay, you'll never hear a rock musician go, what do you say? After this guitar solo, you're going to die. Like, I'm the, you know, you never hear Mick Jagger going, whoa, look at Keith Richard killing shit on the guitar. He's the best solo by far. Like, why do rappers feel like it's really good to talk about how really good you are?
Right, right, right.
If you take
right.
the 100 best rap songs, it'll be a bunch of fucking egomaniacal, manly men talking about how great they are. You take the 100 best rock songs, there'll be some about love and freedom and fucking all kind of shit. Like, we have no diversity. So I was happy someone as great at rapping as Eminem was trying. It wasn't great. He hadn't got to the point where he was great at it.
Okay.
But I liked that he was trying to put some substance into his music. And then fans like you pushed him back into Kamikaze.
You blame him? I guess I'm partly
personally
responsible. Yeah, okay, no, get it, okay, yeah.
You started.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
Okay, it's an interesting argument. I have had people, because there's lots of big Eminem fans that listen to this podcast, and I got a lot of shit for what I said about Revival. And you know what my issue with it was? I just felt like it didn't feel real. Like, what I mean was, it felt like, I think he felt trapped by what he was doing before, and he just thought, I'm just going to break out. But it didn't feel like an organic breakout. And so that meant that it wasn't as enjoyable to listen to. Do you know what I mean? And then I do concede your point that Kamikaze, because when Kamikaze came out, I was like, yeah, fuck it, he's still got it. And I do, and now, as you say that, I get what you're saying. I do understand what you're saying, because Revival was something different, whereas Kamikaze is him doing more of the same of what he was doing before. I understand that.
Yeah, but I think what you're saying too, I didn't think about the insincerity. I wanted Eminem to do something different so bad that I probably didn't pick up on the insincerity. Yeah. But fake it till you make it. You know what I mean? I feel like he was, I think.
But do you reckon, so what you're saying, do you think that if he'd have carried on in that direction, eventually we would have got an Eminem record that's like, that's different, that would have been actually good?
I think so, yeah. But I also, you're pushing me right now. I figured it out. Rick Rubin is the answer.
Right, really?
He saved fucking Metallica.
Yeah.
He saved fucking Red Hot Chili Peppers. And he saved Johnny Cash. He saves white superstars in their moment of like, here, this Californication was beautiful. You know?
I've never heard that summer of Rick Rubin, but it does make sense what you're saying.
So I think that, I don't know if Eminem has producers that can help him get to where he needs to be.
Yeah.
But he's really good at the Kamikaze. But that's just why I tuned out. Like, after the Marshall Mathers LP, I was like, okay, well, he's just going to keep doing that and that.
Yeah.
Or I'd like to see him really solidify himself as the greatest of all time, which would, he has to make a club record. He's never made a good club.
Yeah,
record.
That's true.
And being that hip hop is a club music and is originally made to dance, to me, he can never be the greatest of all time. And I want him to do it because he has lots of reasons he should be. But that's a huge part. Like, there's no Eminem song that you can throw on at a wedding reception and everybody's like, woo.
Yeah.
Snoop has 15 of those. You know what I mean? Jay-Z has a few. Like, DMX even has some. Like, 50 Cent has some. Like, there's no Eminem song that your grandmother, you know, both sides of the family, like, you know, Eminem doesn't have that song. He's too great not to have that song. So instead of focusing on destroying other rappers.
What do you think of that whole Machine Gun Kelly thing?
Oh, man, I'm really stoked on Machine Gun Kelly.
Really?
Not for the reasons most people think, but because I've been around him, and the fact that he can stop doing drugs and fucking beautiful women long enough to put together a cohesive diss record. I'm very stoked on him.
Like, oh my god, Ronnie.
Hey, somebody grab him some clippers. His fucking beard is weird. Tough talk from a rapper paying millions for security a year. I think my dad's gone crazy. Yeah, Haley, you right. Dad's always mad, cooped up in the studio, yelling at the mic. You sober and bored, huh? I know. I'm about to be 46 years old, dog. Talking about, I'ma call up Trick Trick. Man, you sound like a bitch, bitch. Man, I can handle your shit. You mad about something I said in 2012? Took you 6 years and a surprise album just to come with a diss? Homie, we get it. We know that you're the greatest rapper alive. Fucking dweeb, all you do is read the dictionary and stay inside. Fuck rap god, I'm the rap devil. Come a bare face with a black shovel like the Armageddon. When the smoke settle, his body next to this instrumental, I'm saying.
Because knowing him, I was like, I don't want my, you know, I'm not my friend, but I like someone I like, you know. Yeah. I don't want someone I like to look stupid.
Right.
You know, I was like, he can't be sober long enough to put together something this, you know, something good.
Yeah.
And I heard it and I was like, holy shit. Then I saw the video and I was like, for a rapper too, like, he was actually eating the cereal. Like, that's hard to fake. And he's a long guy. And he made it without spilling any cereal and to film a video that quick. So this is where I'm going to drop. I'm going to not give it to Hip Hop DX, my exclusive Hip Hop Saved My Life theory.
Right.
I'll expand it on the Hip Hop DX show. But Ari the Rugged Man tweeted this and it's like, beware of these beefs because it could be started by the label. Revival tanked for Interscope, supposedly.
Yeah.
Machine Gun Kelly, they haven't been able to get off the ground since his last hit. Which Eminem keeps saying didn't have a hit. He had a huge hit. But they haven't been able to get back there. These two have been wanting to go at it for a long time. Only thing keeping them apart was the label. So now they're both down on their luck. The label says, all right, fuck it. Let's just lift the gate. You guys go. And if you think it's not orchestrated, like, you know, Kamikaze drops, Eminem's boom. And then Eminem drops Killshot.
Yeah.
Rihanna just hit me on a text. Last night I left hickeys on her neck. Wait, you just dissed me? I'm perplexed. Insult me in a line, compliment me on the next. Damn, I'm really sorry you want me to have a heart attack. Was watching 8 Mile on my Nauta track. Realized I forgot to call you back. Here's that autograph for your daughter. I wrote it on a starter cap. Stand, stand, son, listen, man, dad isn't mad, but how you gonna name yourself after a damn gun and have a man bun? Giant smoke, eyes open, undeniable, supplying smoke, got the fire stoke. Say you got me in a scope, but you grazed me. I say one call the Interscope and you Swayze. Your reply got the crowd yelling, woo. So before you die, let's see who can out-petty who with your corny lines.
Slim your old
Al Kelly, ooh, but I'm 45 and I'm still outselling you by 29.
And now everyone's waiting on MGK's response. What's MGK's first response? My new EP is coming out in 2 weeks. They already had it ready to go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So everyone's looking at MGK's Instagram. People who don't usually look at
yeah.
And his only post is binge 928-28.9 for the British people.
Thank you. Thank you. It's really good of you to make that concession.
But
fuck,
yeah, so,
I mean, it does make
sense. So now Jimmy's like, okay, you guys have been wanting this. You guys have been wanting, fuck it, go at it. It's going to be great for sales. And it has been.
Yeah, it has
MGK,
been.
MGK, guess who has another number one record?
I know.
MGK.
And also, a lot of the like online stuff about it has been like, we should thank MGK for bringing back the Eminem that we love.
That's
the
bullshit. Yeah, that, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because not listen, I didn't say that, man.
Yeah,
I
don't, no,
I
that's, how,
start,
you felt.
I
that's no, how you felt.
I don't start pinning it on me, man. But like, that's what people was like. The people going like, Eminem's back, because the thing is that because I was watching Eminem's interview with Sway, I just thought to myself, what is the reason for Eminem to trouble himself with this guy? Do you know what I mean? Like, because if he really is that unbothered and thinks he's nothing, or what, like as he claims to, what is the point in even, you know, he yeah, exactly. And also, Eminem said, the choice I've got to make is whether I crush this guy because he went at me, or he's talking about my daughter, or whatever the origins of this beef are, right? But if I do respond to him, I'm going to blow him up, right? So if I was Eminem, you'd sort of think, I'll just leave it. I mean, if you want
to
say that.
Or it's time for you to go beat his ass.
Yeah, you have
enough money to make that go away. And if MGK sues you, he looks like the pussy. Now that he called you a bitch, like, go jump him. Like, immediately, if you said something about my daughter, that would have been my immediate response.
Yeah.
Like, fuck all the rap shit. I'm not going to make you famous. I'll make you famous for getting beat up and suing me like a bitch. But I'm not going to. But that's why I think it is all orchestrated. And then what they've done again is they put Dre against Diddy again.
Yeah.
And like, that's not healthy. Like, you know what I mean? And that's why I felt Jay Electronica was like super like, yo, like, before we start bringing up Tupac, like, remember who's benefiting the most from these beefs.
Yeah.
And everybody's kind of like, I think it's cool. You know, because Dre, like, they've added Dre to Killshot as a producer or something. I'm like, why is Dre even involved in this shit? Like, but now, I saw it. I was like, this is really to me, it seems really orchestrated. And then they're bringing Diddy in and they're bringing this. And what I hate is that MGK is being called a mumble rapper. He's not a mumble rapper. This kid is an excellent performer. He's a lyricist. He's talented. His music has substance. Live shows, bananas. And I don't agree with doing drugs and all that other shit he's doing, but he's really who he says he is.
Right.
He's a rock star for real. He has his own festival that sells thousands of tickets in his hometown. He puts on for a city. He brings well-known rappers to a city. Because I've been on tour in Cleveland, and nobody's doing shit like that in Cleveland. So he's keeping, you know, he gives respect to his OGs, and like, he has beef with Eminem. And I think what hip-hop has gotten to the point where it's not, that's because we have all these fucking jocks. It's not sports ball, guys.
Yeah.
It's not fucking teams. It's somewhat art. And even if it's a battle, it's a battle. We don't have to take sides.
Yeah.
We can. It's still entertainment. Let's just enjoy the fight.
Yeah.
That's it.
You know I love you.
Because then now there's Royce getting into it, and then there's Jay Electronica, and like,
did you see the Bizarre video?
No, I tried not to watch anything. I love that guy too much.
I thought it was hilarious, man.
Like, was he being funny or was he like getting serious?
He was being he was being funny.
Okay, good.
It really made me. It's before Killshot dropped. And he went, Bizarre was going, he's going, you know what, I'll give it to MGK. That was a good track. You know, I think he sat down and he worked really hard and he wrote these lyrics and he managed to come up with a good, I'll give him credit. You know, he did a good thing. And then he goes, this is what really makes us, but the repercussions.
Oh!
Goes, oh, it was just so funny the way I loved it, man. It was so, but that's the other thing is like, the truth is, it does make sense what you're saying, and also because people are saying now, so many people that didn't even know who MGK was are now MGK fans, and also when people go, who won this? there's so many people that equally passionately think that MGK absolutely killed it, and people that thought that Eminem killed it. So it's really, there's no real outcome.
There's no way, yeah. And I think they're turning into an age thing. Like, I don't know. Like, my opinion is that I didn't expect Killshot to be good because there's nothing Eminem can say about him. Like, what are you going to say? Like, he hasn't done much, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Now he's opened himself up to MGK can come again.
Yeah.
Boss. Like, he could really, and I'm like, man, that was, like, he should have just ignored him. Or,
well,
had someone beat him up.
Yeah. It's a difficult one when you're punching down like that. Because, like, in a way, it's like when Rabbit was facing Papa Doc. Because, like, you know, he's like, because MGK has got nothing to lose in this situation. Nothing. Do you know what I mean? So, what do you want to say about him? Like, that he doesn't sell as many records as you or whatever. Like, everybody knows that. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just like a, I don't know. It's just like, it's almost like he's got nothing on him. Do you know what I mean?
You're technically a better rapper than him.
Yeah.
Like, and even MGK will give it to you.
I know. But that was the thing that was so mad, was that MGK is actually very complimentary about Eminem on that track. Right?
Yeah, that's what I thought. I was, because I've been in my little beefs with rappers, but I never made diss songs. I was just, but I told
you.
You've
been tempted.
Huh?
You've been tempted.
Oh, yeah, very tempted. But I've told a guy, I was like, look, man, I'll never be as good a rapper as you. I grew up listening to you. I really love your music. I'll never be that good. But if you say anything else to me, I'm going to beat the shit out of you. That's it. Like, if you ever put my name in a record, I'm not going to rap against you. I'm going to show up to your house at blah, 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 and blah. I knew a corner you lived on. And I'm going to pull up in the front yard in front of all your friends. I'm going to beat the living shit out of you. I'm not here to play rap games with you. And I think that's what someone needed to have that discussion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, but I think that's what MGK's song was. Like, everyone's like, Eminem, technically, yeah. But what MGK said was, hey, Em, I know you're a great rapper. You don't know how to dress. And if you really want it, I go come up and beat the shit out of you.
Yeah.
Let's
yeah.
just leave that there. And that's why, like, it was very frank. He didn't try to compete with Eminem in lyrical gymnastics. He ate his cereal, hopped off his tour bus, said a few things to the guy, and got back on his tour
yeah,
bus.
Yeah, yeah,
and that's the thing. It's like, and that's another thing. I think the winner and loser meter in hip-hop is off.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the Meek Mill versus Drake, people kept saying Meek is catching an L. And I was like, he just got out of prison.
Yeah, yeah.
He's making 75 grand a night on a private plane fucking the most sought-after woman in rap. If I want to lose... You know, and everybody's like, MGK is dead. I was like, if being dead is doing sold out, like, you just did a picture of, like, these tickets to MGK shows were sold out
yeah.
prior to him dissing Eminem. Like, Eminem can paint it like MGK wasn't doing shit.
Yeah.
This motherfucker was on tour doing sold out 10,000 person rooms. That's a fact.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, this is a loss. And Eminem, I'm not going to feel bad for him either. He's living a great life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, that's why we all need to back up and stop, like, counting people's money and, like, hey, he said something really funny. Eminem had some really funny lines.
Yeah,
Kill
yeah,
shot.
Yeah.
Let's just enjoy what's... The t-shirt is hilarious.
Yes,
the fact
yeah.
that MGK wore a t-shirt and took a picture on stage in it is even more hilarious. I think they're being good sports about it.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And it's the white people for once. Let's enjoy that, too. You know?
Yeah, okay.
I had a show once where Slug and LP jumped into the crowd and started a fight. And I told the crowd, I was like, look, it's not the black guy. Let's enjoy this for once.
So what's next for you? Are you working on new stuff?
I have no idea, man. I'm out of my contract with Strange Music. So I don't...
So you were with Strange Music since, what, 2014?
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
And how did that go? Were you happy with all that?
Yeah, it was everything. Now yeah. I just got to decide what I want to do. Like, they were still trying to work me to radio, and I wanted that. Now I kind of just want to... I have no idea. I was trying to come here and find myself. And
really?
All yeah. I did was break my fucking ankle. God damn.
Have you got more tour left, or is that it?
No, this last show was last night in... Where the fuck were we? Leeds.
Yeah, how was that?
That was probably the smallest show.
Right.
Maybe like 18 people. It was...
Where was it? What venue?
No, Stereo. No, that's Glasgow. Where was it? Hedro House?
Oh, I don't know that one.
It's like a three-story building.
Right. But were they good?
I think the crowd had a good time. I find myself trying to venture into stand-up comedy now.
Yeah? Yeah. I've been with you, based on talking to you now, you got the chops for it.
Yeah.
I think you could do it.
Would you guys do?
I mean, don't come over to the UK and start doing it, because, listen.
No, I mean, I think we can do Just Another Immigrant too.
Yeah, what, with you?
Yeah.
Over here?
Yeah.
The reverse, the flip. And then I'm showing you around the UK.
Yeah.
Mate, that's a fucking idea. Yeah,
yeah. I'm booking the O2. Yeah. As soon as I get here.
Ha ha ha!
Go Wembley Stadium.
Wembley Stadium.
Yeah,
fuck
go
it.
Bigger. Yeah.
Oh man, right that off, was and such then, a yeah. fuck up, man. It was so funny because like when we're doing that, we just wanted to. We wanted to just play it for real and see what happened. And then we went to the Mexican border and built that.
Yes.
We tried to do this publicity stunt and we went to the Mexican border and started building the Trump's wall to try and get some heat. Yeah. And then part of me thought, oh, maybe this might sell. And then the fucking curtains opened on the night. Well, you know, spoiler alert, it didn't go down.
How many do you have in? I've not seen it.
Well, it's a six.
What? You didn't watch this show?
No, it's not on over here.
It's not on over here.
What? Wait, hold on. What do you mean?
They're not showing it in the UK until, I think, like next year or something.
What?
It's weird. I don't know. It's weird, isn't it?
Let me tell you motherfuckers about this show.
Including me.
Yeah, this is hands down.
Won't tell me.
I don't watch reality TV. He's a piece of shit. First of all. But so am I.
In the show, or?
Yeah. This guy's such a piece of shit that my wife watching it goes, hey, that's you. You need to meet this guy.
Oh my God.
Because you guys are the same person.
Well. So, but I feel like you're sort of insulting me, but at the same time complimenting me because I'm like you, but I'm a piece of shit. But I'm beating myself in that. I mean, I'm myself.
And that's how I feel. When my wife told me that we were the same person and she said he's a piece of shit, he's a prick or whatever. I kept asking her, but how?
You said so many things you forgot.
So that's the thing. So you're watching it going, I don't know how this guy is a prick, right?
Yeah. I was like, okay, I kind of see it, but he's just being himself. Like,
yeah.
I was like, you would do that to me. You do that to me all the time. I'm like, okay, well, fuck it. I gave up on trying to understand it. And I was just like, and there's certain things like, look at his mouth, how he's doing this and... like, all right, man.
Oh, mate, that's the problem I had. Because, like, you're quite dry, right?
Yeah.
As am I. In Britain, dry is like, I mean, people... Yeah, but in the States...
Fish and chips.
Yeah. Well done. That's good, man.
And then they will end the podcast.
Yeah. Well, that's what we'll close on, yeah. But in America... You just get taken on. I don't know if it's because I'm British and also I've got a sort of a fairly non-expressive face, but you would say something and I got taken on face value for what I was saying so many times.
And that's why I break my ankle on the court and people don't know if I'm serious.
Yeah, exactly.
All the time people say, I don't know if you're joking.
That's what, mate, dude.
Yeah, see, that's
exactly what I get. Do you know, can I say, this is what, so I was on holiday with my wife and kids, right? And we were like, I was having a great time, right? We're in Portugal, we've got this nice villa, we're chilling out, having a great time. 3 days into this, three fucking days with my wife. I've been with this woman for nearly 10 years, right? 3 days into the holiday, I said to her, this is great, isn't it? I love this. And she goes, do you? She goes, it's fucking impossible to tell. She goes, I've been on this holiday thinking, is he having a go? Does he like it? Does he not? And I was just like, fuck, man. That's my wife, dude. Like, she's that's mad.
That. Yeah, I don't know if I'm that bad, but I guess I'm more of the inappropriate. Like, she's like, you don't, this is now you're saying, you talking, is like your voice is jogging. We were watching an episode, I don't know what you did. She's like, that's just you. I'm like, how, I'm like, when have I ever done something like that?
Yeah.
We were with my high school friend Mark. We ran into him at Fatburger, and you asked him, what are the odds of me getting laid tonight? I was like, I just said that to your friend. Like, yeah, and he called me later, and he didn't know if you were serious or joking. And he was like, and I was like, I don't know if I was serious or if I was joking. He's like, but she was like, who would say something like that? I was like, but it's kind of funny. I was like, but yeah, she's like, this is my friend Mark from high school. I was like, hey, Mark, how are you doing? I guess apparently my next sentence was, so what do you think the odds are of me getting laid tonight? And like, nodding over to my future wife. We're on our second date.
Yeah, I had that because I was, before I did comedy, I was a teacher. And the word cunt in America is a big no-no, right?
Yeah.
So over here, like, it is still bad, but people, you frequently hear people say, oh, that cunt's all right, man.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Like, that's
a
kind
compliment.
Of...
compliment.
Yeah, so I was at that cunt, he's a fucking great cunt. Okay. What a cunt. What an absolute cunt, top cunt. Yeah. He's a top cunt. So, like, I was at a teacher's meeting... And we had this thing where we were doing reports and you got to pull in standard comments onto the reports. Like, they've got a selection of comments. You choose the one that's appropriate to the kid, right? And you build your thing together. And they said, and we're having a little drink after we'd finished the reports. And one of the teachers said, you know, there are some words that I'd like, you know, to be added to those reports that, you know, that weren't there. And I said, yeah, I'll tell you what I'd like, just one word, I'll put it on every one, cunt, right? And I was joking, but the whole fucking table just looked at me like I needed to be fucking removed from the teaching profession. Wow. It was like I had to leave.
You're not we're at the pub. Justify yourself, man.
No, because at the pub,
yeah, was at the pub. We're just having a drink afterwards. So I was like, I just sort of finished my pint and then went. Anyway, guys, it's been great. I just thought I'd just let them talk about what a prick I am. Like after.
Wait, it's not even in school.
No, dude.
What's like, their problem?
I don't know, man. That's. But
Thank you.
Well. I like
yeah,
you.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Fuck those cunts. That's fucking. Yo, what the fuck, man?
I know, man. I know. Look, we're running out of
time. Long. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I'm going to ask you. Let me. Well, one of the things I want to ask you before I let you go. By the way, best guest, right, yeah. Mate?
You guys say that every time. I like that.
No, we don't say it. Do we say it every
never
time?
Said it
I don't think we've said
no,
it.
No, you said it to Clara last week.
Yeah, we did say it. No, you're right. You got good memory. Yeah, correct. We did.
I've been
say
doing
it.
My homework.
Yeah. But what I really wanted to ask you about, but then we digressed, is the fact that I want to thank you because you make what I think is grown up hip hop, right? And what I mean by that is, well, you know what I mean by that is like so many times because I listen to all of it. And some of it I like more than obviously, you know, you have your preferences. Sometimes I put it on in the car and my wife will turn to me when there's something being said and she'll go, really? You're a 40-year-old father of three and this is what you're listening to, right?
Kamikaze.
Yeah. Finally! He's fucking back. I told you, babe. Anyway. I tell you what, I knew he's a top cunt. But your stuff is like, it's grown up, it's adult hip, do you know what I mean? And is that just because you're doing what you do or are you conscious of that or like, you know?
No, I just always told the truth. So this right. is my truth now. But I was having a conversation with the guys I'm on tour. It's like, because I don't know what to do next. Like I've never, right. they're like, either you do dad rap, but they're like, you don't look like you do dad rap. Like they're like you're gonna have to cut your hair and like because dads can't relate to how you look. They can relate to what you're saying,
yeah.
But they don't relate to your look. You gotta package yourself. So like you have to be reggae hip hop. I was like, but I don't smoke weed, you know. So I've been trying to figure it out. But yeah, man, I dad hop.
But there are lots of I get what you're saying. But there's lots of guys of our age. That are not ready to put on cardigans and shit. Do you know what I mean? I mean, like,
yeah,
there's
man,
a middle
I'm not ready
ground,
for
like.
The Skechers, bro.
Yeah,
I can't
exactly,
give up.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
So, hopefully, maybe. Are you encouraging me to do dad rap? Adult contemporary hip hop?
Yes, but.
Cunt rap.
Cunt
rap? Yeah. But.
Sorry. I'm bringing this to the podcast. My head was down on the table.
I'd love it if that came up as like an Apple genre.
Well, that would be a hashtag.
Yeah. Cunt rap.
Yeah. No, I think I do know what you're saying because like we basically what's happened, we had to transfer to my iPhone because my fucking recorder. But I think there is doing what you do is I don't think there's I know that people take the piss out of that kind of. Oh, I've got to work out my financials and all that shit. But that's not... There's something in between, isn't there? Do you know what I mean? Which I think you could... I'm encouraging you to do that.
Yeah, I'll take the banner, man.
I want you to make your revival.
Yeah, I think the last album might have been it, but... Because it didn't sell. I think people wanted that. No, I'm like... So maybe I don't... But I don't even know what I could go back to.
Like, yeah.
I don't know what people... I never know what people want from me. I've always just done what I wanted.
So you're at a crossroads now, would you say?
Yeah, I was gonna just quit. Cause I stream on Twitch, play video games, and then we just switched. I just do Yo MTV raps basically for 3 hours every day. They request videos, I play them, we talk about them. Then I do the Hip Hop DX thing, and I have to write and produce and direct that myself.
Right. Host it.
And then do the pod. I have a weekly podcast, and then rapping is still there, and that's paying the majority of my bills.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, what do people want? I'm just like, fuck it, I'm just gonna go in. Cause content is everything. I'm like, I'll stop rapping. No one wants to hear dad rap. And then I met with Gary Vee. You know that guy?
No.
he's like an American motivational sensation. He's like 5 million Instagram followers.
I know Eric, the hip hop preacher.
Oh, I'm about to go to one of his seminars.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what that's gonna
be. Have you listened to any of his stuff?
A little bit. I don't want to ruin it.
It's fucking crazy, man.
It's like $299.
It's this guy, like Tony Robbins, but Eric Thomas, he's like this. It's like he calls himself the hip hop preacher.
Yeah, right.
But he sort of does that stuff like, "You're lying, but you don't want it enough."
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Like the reason you ain't achieving your dreams is because you don't want it enough. Like, but when you listen to it,
yeah.
they've clipped some of what he says up and put it on like YouTube videos with like cool music and stuff. And you fucking listen to it, you get like a hard on, and you think, I'm gonna fucking smash this, man.
Like, yeah, it's like a football coach.
Yeah, it's like taking speed or something. It's like, fucking yes! Do you know what I mean? Like, you probably like get like, you're just ready, man. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I'm gonna, that's what I'm at. Honey, babe, $299, November 4th.
It's worth it.
I gotta experience this.
Yeah,
I saw it. I stopped watching his Instagram. I was like, I'm just gonna save all this,
mate.
And we're the same. So it might be a troll. It might be. I might just be laughing my ass off the whole time, or it might change my life.
Yeah.
I'm on the fence. Like, I feel like I could leave there fired.
But the thing is like, I'm such a cynical person that when I start feeling myself taken by it, I think, no, Ramesh, you can't. Like, are you getting into this now? Like, do you know what I mean? Because
that's why I want to pay for it.
Yeah,
that's going to push me over. I'm going to have to take it seriously.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, $300. I'm full. It's full commitment.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to commit to the bit.
Well, look, we look forward to seeing what you do, man.
I met with Gary Vee. He told me to keep rapping, just do everything. And then now I'm going to go to this other motivational speaker. I'm just looking for gurus now.
Yeah?
And then I'm going to... I watched your show. That was inspiring. I think you can do anything.
Wow.
That's what the show in Leeds was like. The show in Leeds was like, oh, now I'm going to ruin it for you. I'm not going to ruin it for the people that haven't seen the show.
No, go on.
It was like your show at the Hollywood Bowl. But that's most of my life.
Right.
That's
right.
Why I love the ending. Like, that's, you know, like, you I'm not coming to the UK and be like, oh, I've never done a show this small. Like, I like that in most cities, except for major cities. Like, London was a big show for me. New York, LA, big shows for me. I get to Atlanta, there might be 40 people there.
Yeah. But you still got to do it.
Yeah, and I do. And that's what, like, the sound guy at Leeds was like, this was the best hip-hop show I've ever seen.
Really?
You made it feel you're in a living room. And, you know, I just talk to people, man. Like, that's where the stand-up comedy comes in. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, yo, okay, well.
I actually think you should try to give it a go as a comedian.
Oh, no. I'm going to leave it. I can. Would you guys do it so hard? I love that when I get to a lull or, like, a dead joke and I go, play the beat. Boom. And we're out of here. Like, I'm going to lean on that for the rest of my life. Yeah. That's the best crutch, no pun intended. If you had that, I think you would go. Maybe you should kick a couple
raps. You'd never tank.
What if I can't hit? We did it once, didn't we?
Yeah.
If you have a primo beat that you can just throw at any time,
God.
Like, oh, you guys didn't think that was funny, but you like this?
Yeah.
We didn't talk about favorite albums. You're wrong about Q-Tip. Amplified is my favorite album of all time.
Oh, you've come to just like shit on opinions that I that
no, I felt like this guy's challenging me.
That's
the follow-up. Last week, the last show, you were talking about Q-Tip.
Yes, and Clara had a go at me because she said, she said I didn't get it because I'm a man.
Man, yeah, but I was like, I'm a man, and that's my favorite album by any rapper.
That's your favorite album by any rapper?
By any solo rapper. My favorite group album is De La Soul Is Dead. My favorite album by a solo rapper is Q-Tip Amplified.
And you liked Vibrant Thing when it came out?
Loved it. Breathe and Stop, Let's Ride, the whole album. He talks about 5:50. He has a song with Korn. I guess it's because it's kind of like me. Like, that's the breadth of my fucking...
Yeah, but the thing that is coming across from you is, like, if somebody goes and does something different, it doesn't bump you at all. Whereas I'm the type of fan that wants to restrict an artist to the point of just fucking...
What is that, man? Is that your slave master mentality? Like, you pick cotton, you pick strawberries, you pick the peas. Don't you guys cross over in the field. You want to keep everyone separate, man.
You need to go away and think about that, man.
Yeah, go. The way he's looking, the way Ramesh is looking at him, you need to go away and think about that, mate. I'm going to use that on my kid. He just sunned you for real. Is that what your parents did to you?
Maybe.
You need to go away and think about that, mate.
Still thinking.
But casually. You're still thinking? You're still awake?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Well, look, you've given me some food for thought, man. Thank you.
Plug one, plug two. Guest plugs for you.
Merz, it's been such a pleasure having you.
Yeah, fun.
Honestly. And
to meet somebody so similar as me, except for whenever an artist experiments with their music.
Yeah, don't. Yeah, you guys stay in your lane. Good God, man.
Is there anything you want to plug?
My podcast, Felipe's Garage. If you're on Twitch, MURS, check me out. Watch the breakdown. So if you want to argue with me about hip hop in the comment section, I am forced to read every single fucking comment. Contractually, that's what they pay me for. So
is that right? I'm gonna come fuck you up.
There's a lot of UK fans.
Is it? Yeah.
Yes, and I'm supposed to do a UK rap breakdown. So
okay,
if you want to write it, let me know.
Okay, I'm up for it, man.
But if there's want to plug your show because they haven't seen it. Yeah. And if you're listening to this in the States, my fans who are listening to this, the 13 of you that will tune in, Just Another Immigrant on Showtime. Amazing. Some of the best TV I've watched. It's the reason I'm here. And I'm glad I met these guys. So now maybe we can work on our rap group now because we have a white guy, an Indian guy, and a black guy. This is a good thing here.
We're in.
Wait, who does the raps on your podcast?
On the podcast? What the... Do you mean that this is the bit where it's a mate of mine, David from Brighton, who's just like, I just said to him, can you do some little stabs? And he just came up with that.
Oh, great.
This is the part. Yeah. So how did I get into rap?
Yeah.
I don't remember. My first memory is that my mom bought us Adidas suits because I begged her, and me and my brother put on a breakdance show in the living room of our apartment.
Right.
First rap tape was Crushing by the Fat Boys. Favorite rap album is Amplified by Q-Tip. De La Soul is Dead by De La Soul.
So you're not just saying that to fuck me. Your favorite album is...
Oh, I love that one. It changed my life. It changed my career. It changed my life. Is that all your questions?
That's it, mate. You smashed it. Merz, thank you so much,
man. Thank you, guys.
It's been a real honor to have you on.